This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The earliest financial advice many of us get, right along with saving money, is to try to establish good credit. But that involves a great deal more than using credit cards to make your purchases. And unfortunately, many people are not able to manage their credit properly and can fall deeply into debt. Joining us to talk about building and protecting your credit rating and what to consider if you reach that point when you feel declaring bankruptcy is your only option to get out from under debt are Dave Johnson, certified credit counselor with the nonprofit credit counseling service, Apprizen, and local financial advisor, Chris DeSimio. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dave, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Mr. Haney.
Even though we said hello earlier.
Right. It's twice as much fun. It's twice the fun today.
Okay.
You know, it is interesting, too, because in the financial planning world, when people save money to retire, the magic word is income. And it's how much income do you need? When you're trying to build a nest egg, it's how much can you save? And yet sometimes people seem to mismatch what they want to spend, and they don't save, and they get in trouble, and they start doing the credit card juggling act where you're going to pay this one month and skip one or make minimum payments, and before long, the interest rate monster starts to emerge from the deep and begins to claw away at larger and larger hunks of income. What are the steps, Dave, that people can take to right out of the chute when they get started financially to build a good credit rating?
The two biggest factors for a credit score is going to be making on-time payments with your creditors. So if they have several credit cards and they're going to get off track, at least keep it to one of the credit cards is off track and not the whole bunch of them as well. And then the second biggest factor in your credit score is going to be just making progress on that debt.
In other words, making sure that if you have a credit line of $5,000, that you're not always at $4,950.
Correct. The ideal goal is to be at your credit line, to have a really top-tier credit score is going to be 30% of that credit line.
30%. So if you've got a $1,000 credit limit, then try to keep it below $300.
Correct.
What happens then if someone's always at that level? If someone has, let's say, two or three credit cards, they all have a $1,000 line, but they're always at $500 or $600. How does that affect their credit score?
Well, there's not going to be anything that's going to tell you an exact credit score in that, but it is going to hit their credit score somewhat negatively there, that they are exceeding or utilizing more of their credit.
Dave, when it comes to a credit score, what do the numbers mean? What would be a bad score? What's considered a fair score? What's an excellent score?
The excellent score would be 800 to 850. That's the top tier credit scores. You get in the 700s, you know, that's like an A to F scale is going to be a B kind of score. When you get below 600, that is going to be the F kind of score there. And at certain points, you're probably not going to be able to actually qualify for a loan.
And it's interesting, too, because you use the word FAIR. This so-called FICO score stands for the Fair Isaac Corporation. These are the two professors who developed the formulas that banks use and credit rating agencies use to predict someone's credit worthiness and to judge it. And so this FICO score, it can differ at different credit bureaus. Why does that happen, Dave?
They all have different models on what they're scoring, and they have different weights to what they're scoring as well. So you can do like a tri-merge credit bureau report and find three different scores. Usually you're going to find them to be very similar in range of a figure there, but they're going to be different scores.
A credit score can also influence something other than just your ability to get credit. I mean, other aspects of people's financial lives can sometimes be shaded by a credit score. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
What are some of those areas?
Well, some of it is going to be the interest rate that you pay on a loan, the car loan, the credit card debt itself, mortgage loan there. Employers are looking at credit bureau reports for job offers now when they're trying to look at a pool of potential candidates. You know, how has this particular person handled credit in the past versus candidate B?
Even, so they're using your credit score to judge your character? Is that what they're doing?
Correct.
Even insurance companies will frequently look at credit scores, won't they? Because someone with a low credit score might be more likely to have an accident and make a claim.
And it's their ability to pay, too, that they're worried about as well. Are they going to get on-time payments from that client who has a poor credit score?
Now, do you have to rely on credit cards to build your score, or are there other ways of doing that besides just going out and getting credit cards if you're starting from scratch?
If you're starting from scratch, most likely you're not going to get any type of credit. You'll probably have to start out with like a secured loan or secured credit card, and you'll use your deposit at your local financial institution there, and you'll be able to take draws off of that money and actually create a repayment plan for that debt and start building your credit.
Because that's a credit builder loan, isn't it, that you're describing? I think that's what they call them, credit builder loans.
We've called them secured credit cards or secured loans.
Okay. Yeah, that's where you open up a credit card account and you have a $1,000. I'm just stuck on that number. It's a nice round number. You have a $1,000 limit on the card, but it's because you have that $1,000 there at the bank.
Correct.
So the bank is secured. You're not secured. The bank is secured.
Correct.
What are some of the early warning signs, Dave, that you know our listeners should be on the lookout for knowing that things might, you know, it might be time to change their behavior?
When they start having late payments there, or they're actually not making progress on the debt that they do have and the debt that they are accumulating.
So that's the first sign. But then at what point do people say, should I call a credit counselor or not? At what point does someone really need to get in touch with someone in your field?
When they're struggling to pay, and we have clients that come to us in all different kinds of scenarios. The biggest scenario is that they are struggling to pay the debt and they're not making progress on the debt.
Some of the organizations in the credit counseling field are for-profit and some are non-profit. There's a national organization of non-profits, is there not?
Yes, and it's the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and they're the umbrella organization there that typically, if you call your credit card company itself, you'll get referred to the NFCC if you're asking about your interest rate or struggling with that debt. And then NFCC will in turn refer you to an agency that is in your zip code or your area there that's closest to you.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation about building and protecting your credit rating. And Dave, is there a quick way to build a credit rating, or is this just one of those things where it takes a lot of patience? You just
it
have
does,
to work at
it. Unfortunately, it's going to take time and patience to build a credit score and build your credit report up.
Speaking of time and patience, let's say that that someone is late with the payment or has some kind of settlement. How much time does that kind of thing stay on someone's credit report?
The history is going to be 7 years long on a credit bureau report.
7 years.
Yeah.
And how about if someone says, I'm going to throw in the towel, I'm going to wipe the slate clean, I'm going to break my bench, which is that's the word that bankrupt came from. What does that do to someone's credit?
The bankruptcy itself is going to be the worst thing that you can do for your credit score. It's going to take maybe 200 points off of your credit score there. It doesn't make credit impossible to get after the bankruptcy. You do have to work on trying to build your credit score back up afterwards. But credit is typically going to be very much more expensive after the bankruptcy versus before the bankruptcy.
Interesting.
So there are different forms of bankruptcy, though, right, Dave? There are two different types?
There is a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. A Chapter 7 bankruptcy will liquidate the debt that you do have. A Chapter 13 bankruptcy will put the debt you do have in a repayment plan.
Okay. So what should people be thinking about if they think, boy, things are really, really bad. I might have to declare bankruptcy. What are things they should be considering at this point?
One is just in their financial situation to review that, to review their budget, to review their income. Is there anything that they can do to change their income? Is there anything they can do to change their expenses, to reduce that, to get in a better financial situation? And then they can always come out and see an organization like ourselves out here. We are a nonprofit agency. We'll review the financial information with them.
So with 13, you set up a repayment plan, correct?
Correct.
Well, and with credit counseling, it's kind of similar, isn't it? Aren't you setting a repayment plan up with the creditors?
Yes. In a debt management program, the debt would be paid off in full. A Chapter 13 is going to be the debt is paid off in a percentage-wise. And you do a means test with your attorney to determine how much debt is really going to be paid back in that Chapter 13 payment there.
Are there some assets that a debtor would be allowed to keep even through a bankruptcy, such as a home or a retirement plan, that are figured differently in the formula than money in the bank?
The retirement plan is a separate asset, and it's not looked at in bankruptcy from what I understand, and you'll have to understand that I'm not a legal advice there.
Check with your attorney first.
Yes.
And that's a key thing, isn't it, with bankruptcy? You should always
talk to an attorney.
Yeah.
But as far as the house is concerned, from what I understand, there's only so much equity that a homeowner, a single person, or a married couple can keep in a home and get through a bankruptcy at the same time.
Now, Dave, before bankruptcy, can someone on their own just start calling their creditors and try to work out a repayment plan so they don't declare?
Yes.
Okay. So that's something they might want to consider doing if that's possible.
Correct.
Okay.
And then some of the creditors will turn around, and some of them will work with you, and then some of them will refer you to the National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
Now, what's the most common situation that you see that brings a family to the point of bankruptcy?
Medical debt is the biggest thing that I see in regards to bankruptcy there. It's not actually the credit card debt. It's the medical creditors that is causing the debt.
How frequently does it happen, Dave, where you have someone who has insurance and someone who doesn't have insurance going into the same hospital for the same procedure, being charged vastly different amounts? And then, so you have a $1,000 debt for the person with insurance and a $5,000 debt for the person without insurance. Can that person without insurance negotiate with the hospital and say, look, even though I don't have insurance, you know, is that an element of an item for negotiation, or is it just too bad?
I would definitely encourage the client to try that. A lot of the medical institutions will have hardship programs themselves, and they'll try to qualify the client for. And I would definitely try that first.
Okay. So in other words, ask the question. It can't hurt to ask the question.
Correct.
So when someone comes to you and says they need help with their debt, Dave, what are the first steps that you take with them?
We review their financial information, and that'll be the income that the household has. We'll also do a budget with them in session, and we'll review those common monthly expenses there, and then we'll review the debt that they do have.
So when somebody goes into the debt management counseling program, how long are they typically in this?
You don't want to be in it for more than 5 years. And then the debt management program works. If you do find yourself in a better financial situation, you can put more money into the program and get yourself paid off even faster, and there's no penalty for doing that.
So a debt management program is something that you're not filing bankruptcy, you're cutting a deal with your creditors.
Correct.
And you're paying them off a little bit at a time, but it's a step before bankruptcy, so it doesn't affect your credit as negatively?
There's a dual-edged sword in debt management programs. Bankruptcy, again, is the worst thing that you can do to your credit score. But if a client comes into us with all of their accounts open and they elect to do a debt management program, it does close the accounts down. And whether you or the financial institution closes an account down, that can affect your credit score negatively. But some of our clients are probably affected on their credit scores lowly or poorly to begin with. So they don't have a history of making on-time payments, or they're not making progress on a debt. So those aspects of a debt management program can help a client build that back up on their credit score.
In your experience, Dave, do you find that debt trouble plagues just about everybody at every economic level? I mean, sometimes you hear news about someone who has plenty of money, be it an actor or a performer, who files for bankruptcy. It's not just the person who's making minimum wage, is it?
Correct. I see all kinds of scenarios. I see people that you would think would never be sitting in our office there. And then we see people, you know, that are on disability income. They're struggling with debt as well.
Now, in bankruptcy, can you keep your house from going into foreclosure?
Yes, you can stop the foreclosure process, but it may not cure the foreclosure process, but it can postpone it.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation with Dave Johnson from Apprizen, a nonprofit credit counseling service.
What happens when people? If someone signs up for a debt management program and about a year later, they're back where they started. They've borrowed money from somewhere else. They're having trouble keeping up with it. But they still don't want to file bankruptcy. Is there an intermediate step? Can a debt management program itself be renegotiated? Or if you just have to make it, and if you don't, then it's bankruptcy?
Not all creditors will look at hardship programs once you're in the debt management program. There's a few out there that will look at readjusting their payment and turning their loans, their terms out longer.
You know, it's so important, though, for a lot of people to understand the interest rates that they're being charged and how important it is to make a little more than the minimum payment, because those rates at double digit will frequently sneak up and just, again, gobble up savings faster than just about anything out there.
Correct. I was talking to a lady earlier today, and she was saying that she was on my credit card statement there that if I make that minimum payment, it'll take me 44 years to pay that debt off.
44 years. Well, you know, when the Italian accountants invented the compound interest as the so-called eighth wonder of the world, it was for the benefit of the lenders, not the borrowers.
Dave, when it comes to how credit is treated, you have two people, they get married, and they each bring their own debt and credit with them. And does that cause problems for couples that they're each coming from different directions with their own different debt loads and different credit ratings? And
yeah, it can, especially if they're looking to buy a home, because they may not qualify for a home because one of them is together, one of them will be dragging the credit score down where they will not qualify for a mortgage.
So how do you deal with that situation if you're a couple?
You got to get back on the same track, and you got to get a plan to improve the credit score. And again, the biggest things is just to make on-time payments, get on track with that again, and then to make progress on that debt.
Interesting stuff, you know, because if you think about it, in the first part of the show, we were talking about where interest rates are heading. And sometimes people come into money because they inherit money or they get a bonus. And the question is, what should I do with it? Should I invest it? And the first step really is to look at your debt and see what you're paying, because what Ben Franklin said more than 200 years ago is still true. A penny saved is a penny earned. But what's not true about that is that today a penny saved is better than a penny earned, because you don't pay taxes on the penny you save.
Right.
So by saving, not paying 10% or not paying 12 or not paying 13 or not paying 29% like some of these penalty interest rates can be, is the same thing as a risk-free and tax-free version of the same thing. Not paying 10%, paying that down, is the same thing as earning 10% guaranteed.
Yeah, I was going to say, typically on a department store credit card, you're going to have 21.9% interest rate there. So if you run a balance of $1,000 and make no progress on the balance, you're going to pay $219 over that year just in interest there. And you probably can't make that in any type of savings investment account.
Not without entailing some risk.
We had a question from Ray from Montgomery, and he was wondering what the correlation is between the credit scores that you get from those three major bureaus and the Fair Isaac numbers. Is there any relationship between the two things, or how does it factor in?
I was going to say all of them.
Or is it a mystery?
It's a mystery. There's nothing that's going to be out there that's going to tell you how to calculate that credit score. It's, you know, it's all top secret, unfortunately, there.
So your FICO number may not generally relate back to what you're getting from Experian or TransUnion or any of the biggies.
Correct.
Let's talk with Aaron in Cincinnati. Good afternoon, Aaron.
Hello.
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 You are on.
I had a question. I'm actually meeting with a bankruptcy attorney today. I'm being told I'm behind on my property taxes. My home is paid off. But they're saying that since I'm behind on property taxes, the only way I can defuse that is to file bankruptcy. Now, I was wondering if there's any other options besides that.
Unfortunately, with a tax agency that is looking for payment, I would continue with your conversations with your attorney.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, Aaron.
The debt management program that agencies like ourselves offer is all about unsecured debt. It's going to be the credit card debt. It's going to be collection debt. It's going to be medical debt. Unfortunately, the tax agencies are not going to work with agencies like ourselves in a repayment plan.
Yeah, and taxes are kind of tricky with bankruptcy, too, I think. Sometimes tax debt is something you can't get out from under.
I would think be getting a Chapter 13 payment. Again, I'm not an attorney, but I would think it's...
Again, the important thing, Aaron, is do talk to your attorney and listen very carefully to what the attorney is telling you. This is it's a bit of a tricky situation.
Correct. Yeah.
So good luck to you.
Yeah, it's so important, though, to try to have an emergency fund there. We recently did a program about what's an appropriate level for an emergency fund for people to have to make sure that you can at least pay your bills on time.
In our agency, we look at trying to accumulate the savings that would take care of about 3 to 6 months worth of expenses there. Three being the minimum, six being most likely the maximum there. And it does depend on like the employment scenario. If you're looking at high unemployment rates, you probably want to be closer to 6 months worth of savings that mm-hmm. you have that you can dip into.
You know, Dave, going back to what we said at the beginning, you're always told, you know, start saving money, build that credit rating. There's a lot of emphasis on this idea that's what you need to be solid financially. But there are people out there who say that credit rating is overrated. The best credit rating is zero. In other words, you're paying cash for everything. And what do you think of that whole idea?
Unfortunately, I think this world operates in a scenario that you have to have credit to get forward there. If you had a zero credit rating, you know, that would assume that you had the house paid off, and how many people can do that? How many people can go out and pay cash for a car? You need credit to get forward.
Yeah, and especially as more commerce and more transactions are done electronically, it's hard to do that without some kind of credit score.
So how do you keep track of your credit score, Dave? I mean, I guess it's a good idea to know that number, especially if you're going out and trying to get a loan. So what are the best ways to get that number?
The number itself you're going to have to get from the TransUnion, Equifax, Experian themselves. You can run a credit bureau report through annualcreditreport.com free of charge, and you can do that once a year. And some people will manipulate it. You can do it once a year through all three agencies, or you can break it down each quarter and, you know, I start out with Experian this quarter, and the next quarter I can do Equifax, and then the next quarter I can do TransUnion, and then when the next quarter follows through, I can start the whole process over again. And at least getting that credit bureau report will be able to give you the history of what's going on there. It won't give you your credit score, but at least through that history, you'll be able to tell what's going on with your credit report.
You know, and I have often heard these ads that say, we can fix a bad credit report. Is there any validity to that? Can you actually fix a bad credit score?
The only thing that's going to fix a poor credit score is one is you want to look at, again, making progress on the debt and on-time payments there, and then also review the credit bureau report to see if there's any inaccuracies on there. And then if there is, you can dispute those inaccuracies.
Yeah. Or the witness protection program.
So you can actually go back to the credit bureau and say, this is not right, and then will they actually investigate it at that point for
Correct.
You? And they'll check into it for you, and that's all you have Right. to do, and then they'll come back and say yay or nay.
You'll want to send a copy of the letter to the company that you're disputing, and then also, like, courtesy copy the credit bureaus themselves there.
Okay. Dave, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
Dave Johnson is a certified credit counselor with the nonprofit credit counseling service at Prizen. And also local financial advisor Chris DeSimio joined us this afternoon. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. Stay tuned for Science Friday, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. And on Monday, Ira Flato, along with Dean Regas, will be joining us on the show. I'm Mark Haney. His guests bring the amazing world of science to you and other public radio listeners across the country each week. Ira Flato joins us on the next Cincinnati Edition, along with Dean Regas, assistant director with the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the popular PBS series Stargazers. Tune in as we bring you a little Science Friday on a Monday for a change. That's Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock on 91.7 WVXU.